Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live. You can join the show here and you can bring up anything you want to discuss. The number for you is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Ian, and
Ernie.
And Jay.
Ernest Hancock is here from Declare Your Independence, here for his yearly jaunt up into the New England region. Welcome back, Ernie. Good to have you.
Pleasure.
You're going to be, of course, appearing at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It has not yet been determined whether I will be appearing at the Porcupine Freedom Festival due to home
permission
confinement.
Slip.
Yeah, I need to have permission slip. Home confinement conditions from the federal... my federal masters, and...
You are looking kind of white.
Yeah.
Been inside.
We were out... we were out playing some badminton in the yard today. I'm able to go out and, like, walk the dog, so, I mean, I'm not... I don't have to stay in the house. I just have to stay on the property unless I have permission to go somewhere else. So I can get permission to go out and go grocery shopping and things like that, but otherwise it's supposed to be like being in jail kind of at home. And they've been decent with the terms on this. So, like, I've been able to go out to some meetings and things like that. But, you know, I can't go out for
How
any kind of recreation.
Been? Have you been under these restrictions?
More than 2 years. For the most part. There was a brief break in 2022 where I got taken off. I had, like, an ankle monitor at one point, and that got removed. So I had a little more freedom to kind of go places. But I couldn't stay overnight anywhere, even though I had the ankle monitor taken off. So there were still some, there were always restrictions the whole time. And the interesting thing is, when sentencing happens, none of that counts. The only time that counts towards sentencing is actual time in a prison cell. So even though they restrict you to XYZ restrictions, that doesn't weigh in to, like, oh, well, you've already been under our control for the last 2 years. That doesn't matter at all.
You know, I want to... You know, you guys get done. I'm just going to sit here and hang. You know, I came with Jade because I just wanted to see you before I can't see you. You know, and...
well, maybe. I mean, best case scenario is we appeal and win, right? So far
yeah,
the judge
it
has...
it sounds so...
It doesn't look good. That's for sure. But there's still a motion in front of the judge to drop some charges because they didn't prove them. So he hasn't even ruled on that yet. I don't know if he's obligated to rule at some point, but he hasn't yet, so it's kind of weird. It's literally been in front of him since the trial.
You know, this is, you know, my opinion is the government doesn't want competition. You represent competition in every facet and vector you could get away with as a service to humanity, that this is what's coming is going to need these kinds of options, and you represented that probably more so than a lot of people around the world, you know, and they scared off Derek and, you know, Steven, and I'm just
understandably,
like, you know, yeah, no, they were whoa, because they were effective. The more effective you are, the more you do. And the reasoning they gave, they should arrest every freaking bank manager on the planet for all the kind of crap they were saying, that you just because you facilitated trade, you know, that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel this is injustice on a massive scale when we're going to need exactly what you were doing.
Yeah, and it's really sad what's happening out there in the whole cryptocurrency industry. In fact, the latest attack by the federal government is now against a Bitcoin mining firm. And we knew that was coming when they went after Kraken, which is a major cryptocurrency exchange. When the SEC came after Kraken with a lawsuit saying, you guys are selling securities by allowing people to do what they call staking on their system. They said that staking cryptocurrency is one of the most basic things that you can do with crypto. They said that is a security.
Can you define staking?
So staking is kind of like the alternative to the traditional proof of work, as they call it, with Bitcoin. So Bitcoin kind of started this thing where you have to do mining, where you have to have like this very expensive computing device to actually try to find the Bitcoin blocks, and then you get rewarded for the Bitcoin mining. Proof of stake doesn't require miners. Proof of stake is sort of the alternative. Ethereum, for instance, just switched over to proof of stake. Proof of stake is where you have some of the coin in question. You hold that coin as staked, and then that allows you to validate transactions on that particular blockchain.
Okay.
So it does sort of a similar process as Bitcoin, but different. For lack of an engineering degree and being able to really understand the programming behind it, it doesn't require the same kind of hardware that's got the oomph. You can do it on like a laptop or something like that. It's not, you probably can't do it on your phone very well, but like if you've got a real computer, you can run a full node for any coin that requires you to, you know, to stake.
It's more green.
That's what they say. and there's critics of staking, and there's critics of proof of work, and they all, you know, they have their ups and their downs, right? Yep. So staking allows more people to get in. It allows people who aren't as techie to do a thing, because you kind of got to be techie to do mining. To
you know, there's different ones. There's proof of work.
Yep.
There's proof of stake.
Those are the basics, but there's others.
Yes. There's proof of coverage, like, what do they call it, Horizon or
Yeah, there's the one Helium. With the Wi-Fi or whatever.
Yeah, it's a LoRa, you know, the mesh networks. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it, out in the desert, anybody just crazy, out in the middle of nothing, and they have an area, and you get some crypto for area coverage for communication.
Which that was interesting.
Which is very cool. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, we'll see how it works. But LoRa, they had a record. We did a story over 400 miles. And I'm like, whoa, that's cool. And then
one guy covered 400 miles.
No, the LoRa device, they amping it up. Mm-hmm. And then, they're hitting satellites. That's how I found out about it from New Zealand. They were communicating with a satellite. Whoa, here we go. And that was years ago. Then the new one that I'm really interested in is Qortal. Is like a whole web replacement, Qortal, and they do proof of time. So you can't buy your way in. You have, they call it minting. Mm-hmm. So for over a year, I've had one of my computers, piece of crap, Hewlett Packard Windows, boo.
Yeah.
So it just sits there and does Qortal. Mm-hmm. But you have to, you can't just go in and do it and get reward. And it's a time that you spend promoting the network, providing a node.
The longer you do it,
the higher you move up different levels. So
I think some staking takes in time into effect as well, but I'm not 100%.
Yeah, that might be how it works. They'll come up with something else one of these days.
So we can come back around to this conversation. But last week, Jay, we ended out the show with a story that we were teasing it all night long, and then we finally got to it, but we just didn't have enough time at the end. It was the 16 reasons why you should own a horse or have a horse. Or
it's 16 reasons why every kid should grow up with a horse. You don't have to own one to grow up.
You can rent a horse, right?
You can rent them. You can lease them. You
can owner
just show up and be a barn slave and groom them and take care of them.
And so we got through, I think, seven of these, and I don't know if you want to do a quick recap.
I'll do a super quick recap.
All right.
So this is 16 reasons. One is horses teach responsibility.
Okay.
Riding is, I missed part of this on here. Horses help you make friends. Riding memories are the kind that you'll never forget. Horses put off the whole boys thing with girls, and we touched a little bit on that. That is sort of true. Horses are riding.
You know, because you raised a lot of horses.
Yeah, I was
sold hay.
I grew up in the horse business. My father had a horse farm, and we did all the riding lessons and boarding and training.
You know how to shoe them and stuff like that. Right?
All that stuff. Riding requires a strong work ethic. Horse shows, if you're going to compete, horse shows teach you to win and to lose. So, like we had said, not everybody gets a blue ribbon, you know, at the horse show.
Biz. Yes, they do. Everybody gets a blue ribbon.
the little lead line class where, like, the little kids will just sit there on a horse and their mom or their dad walks them around, all those kids get a blue ribbon. But in all the other competitions, you know, there's a judge who judges everyone, and, you know, and they win accordingly. With horses, you always have a friend, and that's where we ended off. So,
okay.
Getting back into it, with horses, you always have a friend. Adolescence can be a long and lonely road. When the going gets rough, thanks to parents, friends, and other high school drama, it's nice to know you'll always have a soft mane to cry in. And I know a lot of little girls, a lot of young girls, you know, they credit their horses as, you know, always being there for them when they, you know, had an issue or had something to cry about. Riding teaches kids about money. This is
really
true. Well, so the way kids learned about it at our farm growing up is like grandma would buy the 7 or 8 year old girl a package of riding lessons. They would get 6 or 7 riding lessons or 10 or something. And then when that ran out, generally at like $35 a, you know, a half an hour lesson or a $50 an hour lesson or whatever it was. And this is 20 years ago rates. I don't know what they're at now. They would get the lesson packet, and then the kids really couldn't afford the lessons anymore, or the parents couldn't. So a lot of these kids really liked it, and they wanted to do it, so they would have to earn their lessons. Mm-hmm. So they would be stacking hay, cleaning stalls, you know, grooming horses, helping fix fence, whatever. So they understand that you have to put effort in to get it done. And then every now and then there was, you know, some kids that, you know, mom and dad were very wealthy, mm-hmm. and they just paid for everything. And there was a real difference.
Those are the brats.
Most of them were brats. It was one very wealthy girl who was actually not a brat at all. She was very respectful. But most of them, are. So and here they, you know, horses teach kids about money. Why? Because no matter how privileged you happen to be, horses and riding can always cost more than you can afford. Maybe you're forced to save for months for new chaps. Or cut back on your show schedule to do more rated competitions. These financial choices aren't just part of riding; they're also part of life. And horses are expensive. They're a lot to take care of. Horse skill number 10. Horse skills are employable. Most trainers are all too happy to teach their loyal barn rats how to handle horses, feed, water, pick stalls, and these skills, when learned correctly, are always in demand. Industrious kids can always earn a few extra bucks at the barn, not just in high school and in college, but whenever they may need a little more supplementary income. So, like, for example, at the horse shows, they want to braid the horses' manes and tails.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a friend, and she goes, she follows the horse show circuit. She's like 30-ish right now, and she trains and she rides. And she works a regular job on Cape Cod. Well, not a regular job. She works a seasonal job on Cape Cod and, you know, in the summertime, makes good money. That's where she's from. And then she goes to Florida every winter. When she's in Florida, she gets like $300 a horse to braid a mane and braid a tail. Now, these are very wealthy people she's working for. And so that down there at the World Equestrian Festival, WEF, it's in Loxahatchee Loxahatchee, Florida, I think is the name of the town. And,
heard of it.
Yep. It's down by, a little north of Fort Lauderdale. And anyways, so she'll do like, you know, 6 or 7 horses, almost every Saturday and Sunday morning.
Bam.
At like $300 a horse. And, you know, she's in there out there in these show barns at 3 a.m., you know, braiding these manes and tails. And basically she's like, yeah, I was able to buy myself a really nice, you know, $50,000 pickup truck, you know, from last year's, you know, mane, you know, and tail braiding. And even like horseshoers, my brother's a horseshoer and he has all the business he wants. Josh Noon is his name. Mm-hmm. In fact, if anybody wants to check him out, hoofsupport.com is his horseshoeing website that has like a catalog of all the work he does. And, you know, he's got no problem getting $250 to $500 per horseshoeing, depending on what he's doing. And, you know, he can work on 4 or 5 horses a day pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to hustle, you can work on, you know, 10, 12 horses a day, but you're pretty worn out. But, yeah, there's all the kids that grew up at the barn, that grew up coming to our farm, pretty much all turned out to have very marketable skills, because once you learn any kind of farm skills, that's why I also said that kids should grow up with an animal, a farm animal. It doesn't have to be a horse. It could be pigs, chickens, cows, any of this stuff. It really builds this work ethic. Next one, 11, riding builds character. Sure, the science agrees, but it's not hard to imagine that the natural ups and downs, hard work, long hours, and pressure-filled situations that naturally come with riding horses provide their own kind of trial by fire. The kids who stick it out through and through, good and bad, usually are usually better for it.
Yeah, it seems like an accomplishment, you know. I mean, it's a big animal to be able to, you know, be good at that.
Yes. Right? Horses teach you empathy. And as Ernie and I were talking this morning, I did a podcast with Ernie this morning. It'll be on freedomsphoenix.com, or it's up there now. And, you know, one of the things that, like, not only do we want our kids to have, confidence, competence, patience,
tolerance.
What's that?
I think you said tolerance.
Gotta get on that.
Oh, yes. Tolerance.
Yeah,
tolerance and empathy is one of those things. So horses teach you empathy.
Why is that? What do you think?
Why do you think you need empathy?
No, I mean, how would having a having a horse is makes you empathetic? Why? Because everybody that I talk about horses, wow, that's a really cool horse. You know, is it smart? No, horses are dumb.
Yeah.
You know?
So
is that what people say about them?
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, so definitely, if the horses were smarter than us, we wouldn't be riding them.
Right.
That's for sure. So. Horses are essentially, I mean, if you define dumb as, you know, an IQ of 12 or something, you know, so horses can certainly identify some stuff. They're definitely not as smart as dogs. So imagine how smart a dog is. A horse is not quite that smart.
Huh.
But what horses are is animals of repetition. They really like repetition, like feeding time when you ride them. Certain things you do with them, like back in the old days when they had a team of horses pulling the milk wagon in the cities before cars and trucks, the horses would learn where to stop. So the milkman would grab all his milk, walk into some building, and then the horse would walk around the other side of the building, because it'd be like these big, you know, buildings that they would walk into, or they'd push a cart in these buildings and unload all their milk in the city. And the horse would meet him on the other side.
So it was auto drive?
Wow.
So basically it was like auto drive. Yeah. So like, also horses, like if you know, you got hurt and you passed out on your horse and you're out in the woods riding, the horse is just going to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully you stay on the saddle and make it home. And also horses, they are a dumb animal, you know, they compared to our intelligence or compared to a horse. And I don't mean to be, you know, dumb as, you know, as an insult to horses.
I don't want to, you know, disparage horses, but anybody I talk to, you know, I think, you know, how smart are they? And they go, they're not. You know, right. I guess it's a repetition thing. So I'm wondering where empathy, how would you get empathy from a horse?
I'll read this, what the article says.
Before you do, I mean, just looked it up here. I guess it just depends on who you ask. They say here that horses have the intelligence of a 3-year-old kid, and they say most horses can recognize themselves in a mirror. That's something a lot of dogs can't do.
Okay. I believe horses can recognize. I've seen horses in front of mirrors.
I've known some pretty smart 3-year-olds.
They say also, though, that dogs are better learning things. They learn faster. Horses learn faster, but dogs are better problem solvers. So I guess there's different intelligence, right?
Yep.
Like different types.
So empathy, in my opinion, empathy is required with a horse because, when a horse steps on your foot just by accident because your foot was in the way, right? You just can't, like, take the horse and
it doesn't know where its feet are,
smack him in the side of the face or something.
Yeah.
You know, you might want to, like, push on him or shove him. So he knows that he stood, and a lot of times when they know that they step on you, as soon as they do it, they'll remove their foot. Sometimes that happens. But also, like, the term cowboy, like, you know, is somebody who's like a little tough on a horse. Like you'll be in a gravel pit and the loader operator, if he's a cowboy operating that loader, or cowboys driving that gravel truck, they're going to break something. They're going to be rough on it. So this is kind of the idea where it's like, you know, these guys don't want cowboys on their equipment. And so, like, one of the guys I used to do some work with, the Strain Family Horse Farm out of Simsbury, Connecticut, when I was a teenager, used to go down there and help put shoes on the camp horses. So me and this guy, Dave Reed, he was a horseshoer. One of the guys taught me horseshoeing. in blacksmithing, we'd go down there and we'd like, together we'd shoe like 25 or 30 horses in one day, you know, really long day, but it was good work for a teenager. And, you know, and Dave was, I don't know, in his 30s or 50s or 40s back then. But, so like one of the guys working at the farm, takes his horse and the horse is getting a little stupid and he's about to take the horse and just punch it. And like, you just see him and Bill Strain Sr. was the old man, you know, he was probably in his 60s or 70s at the time when I was a teenager. He grabbed that guy and just like twisted his arm back or something. And the guy like squealed a little bit and he's like, we ain't cowboys. We don't cowboy these horses. Hmm. And he says, you know, we've got better means and we have technology. And the old man was really right, because if that horse was like, you know, getting not cooperating with you and you start to fight with that horse.
Sounds like a fight you wouldn't want to pick.
Well, right.
Those are huge. Cal explained it to Jay here recently.
So these guys would like smack these horses around and they get like head shy. So if you like went to like raise your hand to like pet them, they would flinch. They would, jump away.
Yeah.
So Billy Strain's like, oh, we don't need to do that. You know, understanding horse psychology is you got to have empathy for this horse, because he's an animal that in the wild, you know, the lion or the tiger or the mountain lion will take them down and eat them. They're prey animals.
Yeah, sure.
So their idea is, you know, they need to, you know, turn around and kick you or rear up and strike you, whatever they can do to defend themselves and get away if they feel like they're in that position. So being an animal that could easily hurt you, especially when you're not paying attention, or if you, aren't getting along with the horse for some reason, because the horse either lacks training or you're just somebody who is basically high energy around the horse and it kind of amps the horse up, these things can all bring out, you know, reactions in the horse that, as a human, being the smarter one, the one on the very top of the totem pole, you need to have empathy for these animals, because when you get upset with them, they feel it. One amazing thing about horses, and this is very well documented, is that horses have the same harmonic frequency as humans. They produce the same basically electronic frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And so horses are very, very soothing for humans that have trauma or distress. Like, there's been a lot of studies done with
I bet that's true of a lot of mammals, dogs and cats.
But they say because horses are so large, they're like 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 pound animals, they have that harmonic frequency is very powerful and it's very soothing. So there's been a lot of studies done with wartime soldiers recovering from PTSD, basically hanging out with horses and working with horses.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a whole bunch of crazy women I know that need to have horse therapy. And their husbands are like, oh, I got to get rid of this horse. I'm like, dude, don't do that. That horse is cheap therapy.
All right, we got more coming up here on the list of reasons why kids ought to have access to horses, according to Jay. What's the source on this book?
Well, this is a magazine that basically promotes horse riding called Horse Network.
We're going to continue here in moments. You can also share your thoughts at 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
USA News Update. San Diego County Supervisor Jim Desmond has gone to the border ahead of the end of Title 42 tonight. The COVID-era policy allows for migrants to be quickly turned back, and he's calling for a controlled, safe process for letting migrants into the United States.
We were told about 3,500 people are there on the Tijuana border, and normally there's only a couple hundred, and we don't really have a safe, humane process at our border at this time.
Back at the White House, President Biden is celebrating the conservation actions taken by his administration.
Over the past 2 years, these investments helped protect our iconic outdoor spaces.
While speaking from the White House Rose Garden, said he's protected more lands and waters than any other president since John F. Kennedy. The Celtics season is on the line tonight in the NBA playoffs, trying to force Game 7 against the 76ers in Philly. Dave Collins, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Join the show here and bring up anything you want to discuss. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Free Talk Live. This hour of the show are brought to you by Dash. Dash is digital cash. It is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Not any of these cryptocurrencies out there, that's not what they're about at all, including Bitcoin these days, which is, of course, really sad. We were just talking about the crazy Bitcoin fees just a moment before the show. In fact, Jay, you gave me an example of somebody who'd sent a transaction and they're still waiting on it, right?
It was sent 5 days ago and has not confirmed once. So I wonder if I'll actually... So, for you know, the thing. So somebody, an anonymous guy, sent me... basically a $2,500 Bitcoin donation towards ManCamp.
Right, ManCamp over at jnoon.com.
Yeah, and and so he put in a cheap fee. So it's is this going to be spendable? You know,
is it going to be spendable by Porkfest?
Right. Well, I need to spend some of it
by June 1st, right? That was your deadline.
Because I need to order some things. Right. You know, have it all there. So we'll see what happens.
If there's any good news on this, it's that the fees for Bitcoin have come down from where they were over the weekend.
Okay. Well, were they?
Ernie, they were back up like $15-$20 per transaction.
Now I remember when they were $60. Okay,
I didn't get quite that high.
I did one transaction. I got to tell you this: we did the Bitcoin Summit on Pi Day. It was 3/14/15 or whatever. You know, mm-hmm. We had a summit in Phoenix, and Mycelium gave us paper wallets. They were $1 at the time. Later when we did it, they were each $30 or something, mm-hmm. You know, and we put them in a box. Nobody that didn't take them. We just were passing them out as a promotional. Well, my wife, Donna, just picked them all up and put them in a little tub, you know, one of those little plastic storage things, had it on the show. Well, Dobbie Barker was over, and we were working on some stuff, and he went through looking for bumper stickers for different things. He finally goes, hey, are these good?
Mm.
I go, holy crap, we got those? So we checked, and then I had it sitting. I remember it was Christmas time. It was in that fall when the flipping happened and went stupid and Bitcoin Cash came out.
Yeah.
And it was sent. One of them I'd use it on the air. As an example, here and it went to this and all that kind of stuff. So it was sitting there and it had the key on it. My son comes in on Christmas Day to make some paper wallets that I had for him to give them to his nieces and nephews for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Nice
so
gift.
He goes, and he sees it there, and he goes, security violation, boom, yeah. And took it.
And snatched it.
I some bitch. Well, and that whole thing was only, he got like $6 out of it or something because it was a $28 fee or $30
oh my
fee.
God.
Or something. So I go, what the crap, you butthead? So I remember those days.
Yeah.
But $15, it's not bubblegum money.
No, Bitcoin is not bubblegum
money. No, it's not. You're not going to be able to use it in any kind of coffee or anything.
I mean, even at $15, you're going to want to spend anything on that. I mean, that's crazy.
No.
If you got a $100 bill, you got to pay. You got to pay Jay to do a horse hoof or something like that. You're not going to want to add $20 to the total just so you can spend.
Worse than a tax, man.
Yeah, right. Just so you can spend Bitcoin. That's why I got to pay $20 when you could do something like pay with Dash. Which, of course, makes it super easy. The Dash fees are, I think, way less than a penny still over all this time. Dash, of course, has some pretty awesome technology to make sure that the network stays secure, like their chain locks technology that protects them from 51% attacks. There's no need to wait for confirmation before considering the Dash transactions complete because you can't reverse them. It's another thing you can do with Bitcoin. You can undo a transaction. If that transaction hasn't gotten its first confirmation on Bitcoin,
yep.
Then you can just resend it somewhere else.
Yeah, there should be a way to cancel it. Yep.
There is. If you got the right wallet, you can cancel that thing. Dash is final. It's one of the oldest cryptocurrencies, and it's widely available on exchanges. It's in multi-crypto wallets all over the place. It's easy to get Dash and use Dash. You can start by learning more at dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization, which, by the way, they had the world's first one of those, for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. So visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That's Dash.org. This stuff is going to become more and more important over time, and the latest Bitcoin fee run-up is proof of that. Now, it's back down to, right now I'm looking at mempool.space to see what the current fees are. A low-priority transaction is $1.28 right now, whereas just a few days ago it was like $12, $15, $20.
It doesn't matter what it is if it doesn't go through for Jay.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Right now there's 294,000 unconfirmed transactions waiting in the Bitcoin mempool for confirmation. So it's going down. That was 450,000 a few days ago, but, man, it's going to take some time.
The bloom came off for me for Bitcoin a long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't use them. I mean, Bitcoin, if I do transaction, Bitcoin Cash it works.
Sure does.
And it doesn't have big giant fees or anything, but I don't trade it as much as I used to. You know what I do? I just keep buying more Doge just because when it gets below 6 cents, I just buy more because screw them.
All right, we're going to get back into the horse topic here in a moment. But we got actually Richard is on the line. Richard, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind tonight?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to see if this, would be worthy of a little bit of discussion. Last week, I had called in about an idea that I had to try to keep guns out of the hands of people who weren't psychologically or emotionally stable enough to be allowed to own one. And it got shot down because they said, okay, this is constitutional and it violates the Second Amendment and all that. And I never got a chance to pitch my second idea, which is why not add a field to everybody's record who's in the NICS database already with a satisfactory or unsatisfactory mark as to whether or not you are psychologically stable enough
to own
a gun.
Yeah.
Just get that information.
Who decides, though, Richard? I mean, who gets to make the decision whether somebody... Who's he work for?
Psychologists who treat these people.
Who do they work for?
They're
do they work for the government?
No, I'm not talking about the ones that work for the government. I'm talking about all of them.
Mm-hmm. don't you think some psychologists have different opinions about guns and who should be able to shoot them?
Well, they may have different personal opinions, but if they're required to put their professional opinion in that record and they say no, then you don't get a gun. If they say yes,
how many humans do you know that can't can keep their personal opinion out of their business?
Well, I don't know about psychologists, that's for sure, but
I know a few
still
psychologists.
Think that there should be some kind of a field in that record that says, you know, you've already been diagnosed as psychologically or emotionally unstable, and that you'd be a bad risk.
I don't believe that any government database should exist. First off, government
that's my first thing.
Is horrible with data.
The NICS database exists.
It shouldn't exist.
It shouldn't exist.
Why is
that,
Jay?
You know, everybody has a different political opinion. I'm just talking about a semi-reliable way, anyway, to keep guns out of the hands of people who aren't psychologically or emotionally stable enough to be allowed to have one.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be able to buy it on the black market, but, you know,
what's
legal
the point?
Part of it? Do what?
If you are acknowledging that the black market exists, and Jay points out also that there are 3D printers now, you can just make your own guns at home pretty easily. But if you understand that all these other alternatives exist, why are you putting on this show the idea that you're going to somehow be able to stop people from getting guns?
Well, I'm not saying that it's going to prevent that in every case, but even if it saves the lives of a few people, it should be worth it.
Well, I want to ask you, you know, just kind of drill down on your perspective here. Why? Do you not like guns, or do you think they are useful?
I've been a gun owner all my life. That's not the point. The point is that there are people out there who have probably been already diagnosed as psychologically and emotionally not stable enough to be trusted to own a gun.
You know, we just went through all this COVID lockdown stuff and the experts say and it was all BS, you know, later anyway. We knew a lot of us that would look at this as a rights thing or a principled thing, or we've seen over time what happens when you give government this kind of authority or bureaucrats and so on. And I'm just, you know, I'm not feeling that
people are like that. They don't like the idea very much. But
why do you think they don't?
You've got to ask yourself a question of why did the founding fathers add the clause a well-regulated militia?
Because the definition of regulated
had something like this in mind.
No, you asked the question. Do you want to get an answer?
The definition of there was you probably get it in the movie Young Guns. It was about Billy the Kid or whatever, and they go mount up regulators. And the reason they did that, and they were talking about that, being well regulated meant practiced. They just changed the definition all the time. But back then, you know, a well-regulated militia meant they were practiced, that they trained. You know, it wasn't regulated by the government. You know, that's not what they meant.
So you don't think the founding fathers had that in mind at all?
No.
Absolutely not.
No, they didn't. I mean, I don't think I know. I read.
Well, all I know is that something's got to be done and nothing is being
done. It needs to be done because why? Because of the gun violence? Because of people? I mean,
yes.
Well, you know, we have so many other reasons that cause this stuff that nobody's willing to look at. We just had I'm from Arizona. Carrie Lake was a candidate for governor and all election fraud, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's in Europe right now. She spoke at in Hungary. Hungary has a CPAC. I didn't know that. What the heck was that? But she went in, I guess she's in London. She has a sister that lives there, and she went on Piers Morgan, and he did exactly what you're doing here. You know, yeah, but, you know, Fox Washers survey, 80% say, you know, they went on, and he was trying to, well, don't you, the gaslighting thing, well, don't you think, you know, one life, and you guys are so Second Amendment, but there should be some gun control, just kept doing it and kept doing it. Fortunately, she's from Arizona, and she knew better. She's going, no,
well,
no more regulation, none.
The NICS database.
None. So what? You know, I'll tell you, as an activist.
So what's wrong with adding?
Let me go ahead. If you want to know, I'll tell you the history. I have an organization called SAFE. Second Amendment is for everyone. Are you a safe gun owner? Are you an unsafe congressman? I mean, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So we had a lot of fun with this. When the FBI came up with the background check after the Brady Bill and the assault weapon bans and all this kind of stuff, they had these databases. The FBI pinky swore, oh, no, we just want to check, make sure you're not crazy, and then we throw it away. We won't track it. We won't keep it. We won't look at it. It won't be part of your permanent record.
Trust us.
We knew they were full of crap, you know? So, of course, they lied. So now we don't have a Second Amendment. We got this second, you know, pinky swear privilege if you ask nice kind of thing. That is not the principle under what we are Americans. The idea that you go duck hunting or something, that's not what it's about.
Yeah,
it's to defend against a tyrannical government, and I'm not going to have that government determine if I'm sane enough to defend against them. Because in the mid-2000s, I remember it was before the Ron Paul Revolution, it had to be like 06, 07 or something, Alex Jones was getting a lot of attention. He's pissing everybody, the government don't like it. They came up with a new classification of exactly what you're talking about, who's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It was the, what they call it?
Oppositional defiance disorder?
Yeah, disorder they made. You don't respect our authority, so you're crazy. Well, boom, you can't get a gun. You give them an inch, they'll take a parsec. So it's not that when people do things, they do them bad. You know, they hurt people, they kill people, you know, depending on what your skin color is or something else determines whether you get off or not. You know, as libertarians and freedom-oriented people, we go, you are held accountable for your actions, and then you're held accountable. You know, but it has to be like a real crime. You have to have harmed somebody. You have to, this we got a some kind of a criteria of this shiny badge guy said you're too crazy to have a gun thing. You are begging for trouble. I'm just saying.
Well,
you know,
why would you trust the government?
Shiny badge guys,
huh?
I'm definitely not talking about shiny badge guys.
Well, yeah, you are. I mean, you're talking about the government having more databases, Richard. You're talking
psychological evaluation.
You are talking about putting more power in the hands of the people calling themselves the government, and they have proven time and time again that you cannot trust them.
Or unelected bureaucrats that decide.
Yeah.
We just had a story. I have a news site called freedomsphoenix.com, and you'll go right now up there. They have a story to where the ATF are going to people that they know that purchased online. It's called a FLT or some kind of a trigger. I don't even care what it is. It doesn't matter.
You're talking about the piece of metal that's got the printouts on it that you can cut out?
Oh, is that what they were talking about?
No, you're talking about the there's triggers that
the lightning thing, the lightning link.
I don't think he's talking about the lightning link. It's, so it's a trigger modification, and they call it like a
they say it's a machine gun or whatever.
Yeah, so there's a different. So
it's a little piece of metal, and they call it a machine gun.
I have no idea, but the point.
Ernie, there was a story that recently you got to know about if you haven't heard about
it.
There's this guy. I think he was in like Minnesota or Wisconsin, I'm sorry, I forget, Michigan, one of those three up there. Anyway, he come up with the idea of printing out this card.
It's like a piece of metal.
Yeah, like a credit card-sized card with some engravings on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you cut that out with the right machine, then you get these tiny little tabs that are maybe a little bit larger, apparently, than what you might get on like a soda can, right? Like the top of a soda can. And you put that in the right place in an AR-15, and it allegedly converts it into an automatic firing gun.
Yeah, so
and
then it's kind of a First Amendment thing.
It is. It's clearly
exactly
a First Amendment
thing.
Exactly
what Cody Wilson was doing with the 3D gun. We covered
right, but
Nigel Cody
a jury found that guy guilty. Unregistered passing of a machine gun
the
or whatever.
The ATF right now is going to everybody's house, and they say, well, we hear tell that you got and you ordered and you have, and the guy was videotaping it, and he goes, I'm not answering any questions. Went all J on him.
Yeah,
you
nice.
Know? It's like, I'm not going to be able to help you. Well, you know you're breaking the law if you have, you know, that's your opinion, but I'm not helping you. And so we don't have even law.
You're getting away from the original problem.
No, you want to give power to these bureaucracies or now some head shrink that's going to determine whether you can or can't have a firearm.
who's better able to tell
me
whether someone is psychologically stable enough to own a gun than
me.
A psychologist.
I vote me.
The problem. So I do want to answer Ian's question why there shouldn't be a government database. But let me tell you something about psychologists. They go to a lot of college, they
government
get a lot of
school,
higher education.
They certainly do,
and they get educated by colleges that get money from a whole bunch of Jeffrey Epstein's friends. So you got Bill Gates, been to the island several times. You got the Clinton Foundation. They're constantly dumping money and giving money to all these colleges. College is just further brainwashing of people. And like, and pretty much that the couple of psychiatrists and psychologists that I know, they're very woke. Mm-hmm. They just believe everything the Democrats got to say. One of them, who happens to be a family member of mine, you know, really thinks that like Donald Trump belongs in the electric chair because he's a racist and a bigot. And, she couldn't give me an example of any racism or bigotry that he's done. She wasn't mad that he, she wasn't mad that he drone striked a bunch of people and, you know, had people murdered and, you know, due to military actions, because basically these people are essentially what I call leftist cult members. And, so the psychology field, you know, there was a thing I read about years ago, how this guy went with the same exact symptoms he gave to each psychiatrist, and like he went to like 10 different psychiatrists, and two of them prescribed him basically the same thing, but he basically got 9 different like types of different like, you know, remedies or prescriptions from these guys, because you know and psychiatrists are these ones there. You know, they put like...
Now, a psychiatrist is different from a psychologist. The psychiatrist prescribes drugs.
Certainly are.
Okay, well, psychologist supposedly...
Well, I want the psychologist to evaluate Biden whether he could have thermonuclear weapons.
But either way, they're all... You're absolutely right, though, Jane. What you're pointing out here is these guys go to government schools. That's what all the colleges are. Almost all of them are government-run institutions. They're indoctrinating these college students with all the government nonsense, whether you want to call it woke or pro-government, whatever it is, you know, whatever terminology. And Richard, you want to put these people in charge of whether or not somebody gets to bear arms, somebody gets to exercise their right to defend themselves and their family. That's what you want to do.
No, not exactly. I just want there to be something in the NICS database that psychologists are required to put in there if they treat a patient that they absolutely are certain that this individual just is not emotionally or psychologically stable enough to be allowed to own
it. Should that apply to the President of the United States of America and the army he has at his fingertips?
Well, I'm talking about Joe Citizen. I'm not talking about those people.
Why? What's the difference? This is a whole mindset that you're bringing to us, is that somehow if they got a shiny badge or, you know, an office, you know, they're different. And,
yeah,
thermonukes are fine, but, you know, an AR-15 is not. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Qualified immunity. The people with qualified immunity don't need this, right?
Richard, the solution here, of course, is more freedom, right? I mean, there's all kinds of people out there.
Yeah, not enough guns.
Yeah, there's all kinds of people out there who can cook up some new plot, some new database, some new bureaucracy that's going to somehow save us from the next mass shooter, when the reality is if you want to save somebody from a shooting, you be there and you have somebody with a gun, more than one somebody, hopefully, that's right in the vicinity, and they can actually do something about these psychos. That's how you put this problem down.
Please.
All right. How many news stories have you guys had to transmit lately, and I mean this is within the last few months, where you have a mass shooter like the Covenant mass shooter.
Bunch of them. Bunch. They guarantee you're going to have it. This society creates.
Unstable. What do you do about it?
All right. What was your question, Richard? He was talking over you on that one. Say it again.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying, what do you do about the people who are committing these mass shootings that during the video of them, even like the Covenant shooter, it was brought out that this lady that did the Covenant shooting had already been diagnosed as psychologically unstable, yet she was able to buy, what, 6 guns or something like that and use one of them in that shooting. What are you going to do about these people? You going to sell them guns?
Which shooting was this? Was this the school?
The Covenant, whatever that is.
The Covenant shooting school. In Texas.
Okay. How many of the staff members at the school had guns?
I do not know. That's not what the news story, that's not what they said on the news story.
Yeah, some, well, I bet you it's probably zero. Right?
Someone of the people that was doing the video, you know, narrating the video on that shooting, put in that one piece of information. I'm not sure how he got it. I'm assuming he ran a background check or something, or, you know, on that woman. And said, you know, she'd already been diagnosed as being psychologically unstable. What are you going to do about people like that? Are you going to go ahead and sell them a gun and let them kill 8 or 9 people?
Personally, I'm going to sell it, or I want to pass a law so that it can't be sold to. I mean, you say, what am I going to do? I'm going to respect people's individual right to protect themselves. I'm going to support the Second Amendment. I'm going to support the concept. That's what I'm going to do.
I see.
I'm going to carry a gun.
Have already
protect
been
myself.
Diagnosed as not stable enough to be trusted with one.
How would anyone necessarily know that if they are just an individual who is selling a gun to another individual that they know? I mean, if they've been given some sort of indicator of, like, I'm going to go shoot a school up, then, yeah, probably they should not be sold a gun.
I'm talking about a database that would be available to them. I'm talking about a database that would be available to gun dealers.
You know, it doesn't stop there. They did this in the UK, and then it went to knives. You couldn't have knives over a certain length. You couldn't have. It doesn't stop. You know, I just know better, you know, and so I'm afraid we're just operating from a different perspective. We certainly don't support people getting hurt and crazy people doing crazy stuff, which is all the more reason why most of us carry firearms, you know, to protect our family.
Like, this woman could not go, you know, if she was declined at a gun store, that she would not be able to find some way to get her hands on a gun. Absolutely ridiculous, the idea that you can somehow stop, you know, some psychopath by a database entry. Thank you for the call tonight, Richard. I do appreciate the discussion. But, yeah, the answer here, of course, is for people to carry guns more often, into more places, be allowed to do it in a school, because this is a gun-free zone, and that's why people attack schools. More coming up.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.